Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck, Julie, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. And you have an appointment with them on Friday, even so.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I can use it.
Tons of Trump stuff going on, as usual.
Trump,
and more DEA raids. And wait till you hear what Tom Holman called Joy Reid of MSNBC. That's pretty funny. But wanted to start off today with the vice chair of the Colorado Republican Party, Hope Shuppelman, put out a great, I thought, sort of recap of what a great year 2024 was for Colorado Republicans. So, Hope, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, once again,
glad to see you.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Well, and you did this, I think, but you probably can't quite say this as strongly as I can, but there are some in the Republican Party who are, they call themselves grassroots now, and they're not. And they are trying to say, you know, it's kind of funny, when we lose, it was because of Trump. When we win, you know, it's because of Trump or not because of Trump.
It was just luck of the draw.
And then top of that, then they just spread lies. It's not even disinformation. It is a lie that the Colorado Republican Party is losing people. And there were several lies. But I also kind of want to keep it.
You know, now you've got all four of our congressional districts.
Yes.
All coming out against the upcoming bylaws. Three of them are owned and operated by Americans for No Prosperity, as Trump likes to call them. And now they're calling themselves grassroots.
Yeah, they're the grassroots.
That's like the Americans for Prosperity call themselves grassroots. And they haven't had a volunteer who's dumb enough to work for them in 10, 20 years. But unfortunately, they're out there. I think the real grassroots is really kind of get going. We've been a little bit on hold, I think.
But your letter is great. Well, maybe let's have you first, if it's okay, Chuck, start off. Let's address when they say, oh, we need open primaries. We need all these things to be a Big Ten because we're losing people. That's just a lie, right?
It's a straight up lie. So in my letter, and thank you so much, it took a while to craft it, you know, trying to get everything within the last 2 years. But yes, during KBB's failed leadership, her Republican registration plummeted from 1.1 million to 928,000. So that was a staggering 170,000 voters, that left the party. When we took over, we ended up we saw that there was an increase. There was an increase, 938,000 something. We stopped the bleed, basically. Again, I'm a critical care nurse practitioner. We stopped the hemorrhage. And we really feel that it's really important for people to realize that underneath Chairman Dave Williams' leadership, that we did not lose Republican voters. That is a flat lie. You can actually go on to the Secretary of State's website. This is where I got my information. Not that I'm a Jenna Griswold fan or anything like that, but the data
is there. The data is there.
So yes, we grew our membership.
What about, let's go to the next one, that Dave Williams is stealing all the money and that the Colorado Republican Party under, you know, the grassroots party leadership is losing money, complete financial failure. Another lie.
Yeah. So the bravery of Secretary Anna Ferguson and our treasurer, Tom Bjorklund, well before I became vice chair in August of 2023, I think it was. They were doing a lot of investigating. And as we all were aware, and Tom Bjorklund has put out this information in a wonderful PDF. It was lined out and everything like that. He presented it. basically, when they took over, meaning Chairman Dave Williams took over, they only had close to $8,000 in
and
their
with liabilities.
Account. Yes.
And with like rent and other liabilities. So
yeah, right.
You're
yes.
really in a hole.
Well, and let me clarify that, too, because it wasn't like you guys could just stroll in and open the books and see that, right? It was, because I remember we did several shows on this. They tried everything they could. I mean, they even kept the keys, right, as I understand yeah. it, to the office. They did everything they could to prevent you guys. There was no peaceful transition of power. Let's put it that way.
No. Not at all. Not at all. And the interesting thing is, since I wasn't part of that, I was kind of skeptical at first, because me coming in, I'm just like, well, here I am. And seeing all this in real life and being shown the information, they held back all of the passwords for QuickBooks, all of the things, all of the passwords to get in. And it took months to get to unravel all of this. And to be honest with you, the new leadership was just like, whoa, there's something going on. So they stopped all of the automated, you know, checks coming out, all that stuff. So come to find out, there was only $8,000, $769.55 in the main account, in the main account. And they had not paid rent for 3 consecutive months. But this has been a trend for them. They did not pay rent for many months, but then would try to like double on their payments. So no, we came into this on, it was just a complete disaster. This was not a peaceful transition. So again, Secretary Anna Ferguson, Treasurer Tom Bjorklund, they ended up actually uncovering all of this. Interesting thing that they uncovered was, so KBB ended up actually losing seats in her term.
Yes.
And interesting thing is, they ended up actually giving their people bonuses of $45,000 for losing.
For losing.
For losing.
Well, so, and not only that, and they said, well, Dave can't fundraise, he can't raise any money. So you had, there was $8,000, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, you may not know this off the top of your head, but $8,000 when you guys took over. What's in the bank account now?
So I don't know now specifically, so I don't want to go into that, because I know
okay.
you said this. But what I do know is, we ended up actually, the donations total for the 2 years, $2.4 million.
Okay. Well, okay. And that's exactly, that's what I was asking. So there was, they had raised something that left them only with $8,000 in the bank.
It almost, you know, when we're talking about a corporation, you have to take the liabilities in mm-hmm. on whether you're above water or below. They were below water. They hadn't paid okay. rent. You were below water 2 years later with all the big corporate donors cutting off all money. Dave and the crew was able to raise $2.4 million.
Yes.
By hook or by crook. and that's, you know, what a tremendous showing the grassroots can run the party. They can support lawsuits. They can do everything as long as they just don't have the rhinos at their heels all the time. Well, even with all the rhinos at their heels.
Right. And to your point, Chuck, they lost 5 seats in the House. Under KBB, and 1 congressional seat. So that's 6 seats total. And under our leadership, I'm just going to say we, because people get uproared when they say, well, the GOP, we ended up actually winning, flipping 3 seats, 1 congressional seat, and a school board in CD8. So with those donations, I want to really specify that was actually small donations. And we also had a joint fundraising. So our grassroots, with the monthly donations, we were able to raise $2.4 million.
And it wasn't just the grassroots. It was using your brain, which Dave Williams did.
Yes.
Yeah,
said, yes.
Okay, all these other people are charging for their primaries. We're not doing that. Why? So all of a sudden he said, no, if you want to do just like in Nevada, just like everywhere else, this is what it costs. and they paid it, and it really was a huge help to us. So, you know,
right, the joint fundraising, yes,
yeah.
Well, and so, yeah, so you know, when they try to say, oh, nobody will like the GOP under this, it's that's not true. We gained seats. And I think, and I want you to talk about that, because I think you're really, that's a really good point, because it is we. They want to try to say, oh, it's Dave Williams this, or, you know, they're evil, these guys are bad. And under the grassroots, and I mean by that, and I'm talking about us, and I'm talking to the people who listen to us, and I'm talking to the people who go to their county meetings, right, and stand up for Make America Great and conservative grassroots principles, right? Yeah. We did this. It's exactly like you said. And they want to try to say, nope, you guys, that didn't work. We need to go back to the old establishment, you know, consultant-based way of doing things. So talk about that a little bit, because people really need to understand this is our power, and they're going to try to take it away from us.
Yeah, and so that's huge. I mean, I have seen it all over social media. People get so triggered by the fact that they say, truly, it's we, meaning all 64 counties of the grassroots people, they are the ones who got these people elected. First and foremost, we made close to 100,000 phone calls. We were knocking on doors. We helped cured ballots for races in El Paso, Weld, and Montezuma. So I just want to say that the GOP, meaning the leadership, is not taking ownership of this. We are saying thank you to our grassroots, because if it wasn't for them, we would not have succeeded. It's our grassroots who really want to focus on Trump's America First agenda and knew that President Trump was going to win and push us all over the finish line. And that's why we won.
Well, and I think also another thing, there are two other points. One is I think I want to talk about the principles that we have been pushing. And I think that's why people say, well, I think I want to be Republican now. But also we, and this I will give you guys credit, the leadership there, when, you know, some of the rhinos tried to keep Trump off the ballot, you know, Dick Wadhams and they would have been happy, right? And you guys stood up and you put Colorado on the map. You put Colorado on Trump's map.
Well, that's also using your brain. They got a great lawyer to represent us. And you know, they always say, we don't have money for this. And Dave goes, well, I'll see if I can get it for free.
And they did.
And they did.
And that's the beauty of it, is we don't always have to spend money. You need to actually look at how you're networking, talk to those individuals. Who knows? They may be able to do it for free. Who knows? But for Dave Williams, our chairman, to have said, absolutely not. We are going to focus on getting Trump on that ballot, and we are going to endorse Trump as one of the GOP, the state GOP. And that's where it kind of flourished and our leadership took off, is because, sure thing, we did get phone calls saying, how dare you endorse before the primary? Hey, he's the only one who's going to win. We know
Right. And not just win overwhelmingly. And sure, yeah. And everyone else dropped off the ballot. It's not like this was a hard choice, right? It was clear early on that Nikki Haley
Nikki. We could have had Nikki.
It's not like even this was like some outrageous, oh, endorsing Donald Trump was like the most, I mean, he's got the highest approval rating now. It's like, well, talk a little bit too, because I do think this. I know, you know, some of KBB had, you know, her 10-point plan where she supported unicorns and puppies and affordable housing, and then did absolutely nothing about any of it. But you guys, and we have stood for things, and we have spoken out for things. And even when the rhinos in the Senate are like, oh, that's not a popular thing to say, our, you know, our Chardonnay sipping friends at the Democrat parties will be like, shame on you. But so talk about that too. I mean, the because I think that matters. The fact that now in Colorado, the Republican Party actually stands for something. So that's why you join it.
Right. And really, truly, that's where I got involved in 2020, is because I realized that the conservative values within Colorado has been just bleeding away. And so what we did is we restored those conservative values. We believe in life during conception. That's when, you know, life is actually the most beautiful thing, is it starts at conception. We stood for that. We stood firmly on that. We stood firmly on the Second Amendment. Obviously, that is something that is, you know, within our Constitution. The other big thing that Chairman Dave Williams took a huge stance on is during Pride Month. And to be honest with you, love him or hate him, however you want to view him, he delivered a message that was unified in a very interesting way, because there was a lot of people that said, right on, good job, we need to fight, you know, we need to fight this. But there were definitely people that were triggered because they couldn't get past the information. And that's a sad state, because on day one, when President Trump was elected with a swipe of a pen, he ended up saying, no DEI, no more trans, no more this, I am freezing this, that, and the other. So people are on board with President Trump, but when Chairman Dave Williams does it, oh no, it's a bad thing. So,
well, that's it wasn't messaged perfectly.
No,
I have to say, you know, you gotta, for all his brilliance on so many things, things like that are tone deaf. Not that you can't say the same thing, but you know, notice how we say no DEI, no trans. You know, there's a reason why they say things some ways and not others. And sometimes, right, I think our own messaging could use a little more subtlety, or at least a little more how to get everybody on your side.
Right.
How to get all the people, because I think you're right, Hope. People agree with the message.
Mm-hmm.
How it was articulated left something to desire, at least as far as that.
And that is something as an administration, sure, we're going to falter on certain things, right? But it's about the actual whole encompassing thing. Do you believe in the grooming of our children? Do you believe in all of that stuff? Sure, the messaging wasn't great. It's not how I would have put it out, but my goodness, it is on the same spectrum of what President Trump and Pete Hegseth, thank goodness, right, he was actually confirmed and everything. I mean, they are making strides. I mean, they are getting rid of it. And that's
right,
what we're seeing here in Durango, where I live.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a second, because I just want to kind of, with that, your point, I think part of the issue too, and this is, as you know, there are a lot of people out there who have Dave derangement syndrome. No matter what Dave said, right, they were going to hate him and they were going to go against him. And I think you're right. They were. And what was good and has been good to see is, once again, we, and thank God for Donald Trump, is enormously popular. He won. We can now say, hey, you know, no, you know, transgender surgeries, mutilating surgeries for children, you know, that's not right. And Trump is like, you're right. So I'm going to sign a thing. Well, let me, anything else you want to say, kind of want people to know, or on kind of this whole issue? Because,
yeah, so I also want people to understand that this administration, not only did we help fight the SCOTUS and we helped win and get President Trump on the ballot, we endorsed President Trump, we fundraised like crazy, again, $2.4 million in 2 years. We are closing the primary effort with the lawsuit and the opt-out. Also, the big thing is we are still going to hold Jenna Griswold accountable some way, somehow, by exposing those BIOS passwords. And it was actually our GOP, somebody within our GOP, that actually found.
Right. Exactly. And you guys brought it up, and we all know now they were going to cover it up. Until,
yes,
you guys brought it up.
Yeah.
So, well, talk to me then about, because Durango, I think, is sort of a microcosm of fights that are going on. And so, and it has to do with flags. So I'll let you explain what the controversy is, and then what you guys, again, what we, with you at the helm there, and Darcy, are doing.
Yeah, so this has gone back for many years, and I love my La Plata County community. And there has been a group of school board individuals, obviously conservatives, and, you know, they were part of the local GOP. They were really the ones who were fighting this from the get-go, really trying to get into the 9R school board because they're so left-leaning, and it's crazy there. But they lost a lot of
the fight. Let me go back for a second. Sorry. La Plata County is overwhelmingly Democrat, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And so within La Plata County, there's a subset just like, you know, within, you know, Colorado, there's a subset. Durango itself, Durango proper, is the bluest of the blue of the blue. Now, okay. Out in throughout La Plata, on the outskirts, it's rural community. And yes, we're conservative and we're red, but primarily Durango runs, you know, and that's why we're blue.
Like Denver. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, so we have noticed that the actual school board started to creep in October. A mother wrote a letter to the school board and said, no, you guys need to take down the Black Lives Matter and the Progressive Pride flag. And so with that,
where were the flags?
In the classrooms. Yep. And so a mother wrote, and it became this huge thing. And so they had all of these working sessions. They had board meetings where people can testify. Only 10 people can testify. And if you get in, you know, in line within the first 10 people, then you can testify. Well, you have to be there at 4 p.m. for a 5:30 meeting. It's crazy. Anyways, basically, it ended up being that they are still trying. They crafted this resolution. It culminated that they went back and forth with their lawyers and they were saying, no, you shouldn't do this. And then now the school board is really the ones that are running the show. And they decided to pass this crazy, absurd resolution last night. And that's why it came to a head last night, that basically the Black Lives Matter and the Progressive Pride flag are now considered government protected government speech.
What? Now, wait, let me ask you this. So I mean, that can't be constitutional. What if I want to fly my
KKK? The KKK wants to flag up.
Right, or my Ireland flag or my Julie Hayden flag, is that protected? Or exactly, but so they gave specific, they singled out specifically for government protection the Pride, yes, flag and the Black Lives Matter flag. Can they do, yes, well, I mean, I guess your position is they can't do that.
No, they can't. And so they are violating the Constitution, obviously. And so Darcy came down, bless her heart, she drove down for an hour and a half meeting from Colorado Springs. She met me there. We were there and present and, you know, whatever. But yeah, they pushed this forward. They listened to all of, you know, the people within the community who are more progressive than ever. So at this point, it passed last night overwhelmingly. They all voted yes. So, but I can guarantee you, this is going to get onto President Trump's desk. I know this.
And, well, I mean, it's crazy. And you want to say, I don't know what the, you know, scores are, the MAP scores and the C whatever scores, right? But I would think that they should spend more time talking about that and not having flags like that. And I could see maybe if you have a social studies class and you want to talk about it, but to have them in the classroom and then to give them protected class. It's right. Like, what a waste of time.
Well, remind me, or I mean, I don't know, how's it work in La Plata County? Do you have a unified school district, or does Durango have its own and everybody else?
It's not unified, no.
Okay.
They have their own 9R school board. And then, but if you go out to the, you know, like our community, my community, Bayfield, it's less crazy, but it's still
Democratic.
But it's still, yes, it's still left leaning, and you still got the, you know, you still got people within those school boards that truly want to focus on this. I mean, I'm a healthcare provider. I mean, I don't want kids to learn about or focus. I mean, if they want to learn about it, that's fine. Do it on your own time. Do it at your home. Do it in some type of social clubs or whatever. School is meant for reading, arithmetic, science, history, true history. Learning,
right,
about history and getting them focused on, you know, jettisoning into the future and you,
right,
know, for their careers and stuff. So,
well, and again, I think if anybody else came in and wanted, I would think that would, well, if anyone else wanted to come in with their flag, right? And then they are they stuck now? Do they have to have like the whole school classroom filled with flags? Or how on earth can you just give special status to two groups? It's like, it's like crazy.
Why is Durango so left wing? Is it the college that's there?
Is it, there, yep.
Is it the water? No.
There is Fort Lewis College here, so that is, it kind of drives a lot of that. But also we do have the ski resorts here. So, you know, back in the day, it was kind of like the hippy dippy area, you know, because of the school board, but it's just became this very, very left-leaning area. Also, there is probably a lot of money here within that blue area, if you think about it. I know if you actually read the blueprint and how, Durango is named in there. La Plata is named in there. So
you're one of the petri dishes.
How big is La Plata? How big is Durango?
About 50,000 people. 50,000 at the most. 50.
Okay. Well, let me, Hope, before we let you go, I know because we've got elections coming up, both in the counties this week or starting this weekend. Yep. What, again, and I know this is an open-ended softball question, but no one ever asks you. All they ever do is attack you. So I'm going to give you one, okay? I'm going to give you a nice one. It's like, what do you want people to think about as they start voting, as we're going through electing leadership? What do you want people to?
I really want people to think about, this is something that is really exciting to do. That's how I got involved. I got involved by becoming a PCP on the, you know, boots on the ground. What we really want to look for leadership within our communities is people that know how to lead, that want to get people, more people involved, embracing that conservative values that we have. You know, we don't always need to go with the same old, heck. President Trump said, no, we're doing something completely different. And that's what I agree with. I mean, come on, you guys. We can't have the same people leading each time that are going to be blocking people. So look for America First, who truly believe in the America First agenda, who voted for President Trump, right? Who wanted him to win. And that's how we're going to grow our base. We really need conservative people and true grassroots coming in and pulling through so that way we can get good conservative candidates elected. And that is the big thing. I ended up going to the school board thing, and then I ended up testifying online for the, you know, the gun bill.
The gun bill. Yeah.
Yeah. So I ended up actually not going to bed until almost 11:30, 12 o'clock.
Oh my gosh, Hope.
But it was good because I was doing my civic duty. I enjoy doing this stuff. And I get arrows thrown at me all the time. That's fine, whatever. It's not about me. It's about making Colorado better. So
one other thing. We're going to have a bylaws meeting coming up at the State Central Committee. I have to say, bylaws 5 and 6, if I was in charge of writing bylaws, would not have been written like that. I don't understand why we want to give our enemies as much cannon fodder as we possibly can, but it's not up to me. But tell us about the bylaws meeting.
So the bylaws meeting is going to be tomorrow at 5:30. And basically, look, we are really looking at what happened and what has transpired and how to move the party forward. All this infighting has really halted what we can do as a Republican Party. And we really need to kind of look at it and say, okay, I'm a nurse practitioner, so I look at data, I assess, and I plan, and then I move on, and I execute it. So we're looking at it in a big picture and saying, how do we protect the Republican Party moving forward from anything crazy happening again? I mean, granted, if you like us or not, it also happened with KBB. So, I mean, we really need to look at this infighting stuff needs to stop. And we really need to focus on moving forward with the, you know, President Trump's, you know, America First.
Got a lot of stuff going on. Yes, well, a lot of great stuff.
I can tell you, human beings never stop. most thing about human beings. They always divide up and they fight each other. They get the reds, the blues, the Crips, the Bloods, the, you know, Boston, New York. It doesn't matter. Human beings are preternaturally fighting each other. They only unite against an enemy.
Right.
That's the way human beings are.
We can strive, Chuck. We can strive.
But I mean, it really hindered it, as you guys know, it hindered our movement. And we really need to protect the party, regardless of who's going to be in charge. The party itself needs to be protected.
Yeah, so, give me the argument why we want to get elected officials out of the state central committees. I haven't heard it.
Well, to be honest with you, that actually has been polled now. So
Hooray! Never mind.
Sorry, you guys, my dogs are...
No, we can let Hope go, too, because that's a kind of an in-the-weeds kind of thing. But
Hope, in the weeds is the most important stuff we've got going. What do you mean, in the weeds? What do you want to talk about, Julie?
I want to talk about the DEA base and Tom Holman.
She's a deep stater. And underneath it all, she's a deep stater. Well, thanks, Hope. It's great to have you on. Great to hear from you.
And good luck. And thank you for all the work that you guys and we are doing.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Love you guys.
All right. Thank
you. Love you too.
Bye, Hope. So that's some setting the record straight and letting things go. And then we can talk about maybe the bylaws.
I wanted to hear, and I'm glad to hear that the one about excluding elected officers got pulled out because it was insane.
Why don't we talk then about, there is more. Can we go down to the immigration stuff?
Yes, we can. Okay. Give us your deep state view of the immigration stuff.
There were three more DEA raids in the Denver area in Brighton. That's on top of the one where they arrested 50 illegal immigrants.
Yeah, but there are little. I mean, the one in Adams County was an ICE raid along with DEA and everything else.
Same thing.
No, it's not. It's not a DEA. They're DEA raids. They did get one Trendagua gang member. They really weren't raids for immigration. Immigration enforcement. Provisions. These were really guys who were drugs, money.
Well, they were raids targeting all of the agencies were involved, and they were raids targeting
They're not raids.
Okay, you know what? You wanna go ahead?
Well, I get to say things too.
Okay, finish. Go ahead.
Well, words are important. Raids sounds negative. It sounds like Quantrill Raiders and everything else. They don't raid. These are not raids. These are enforcement actions by the people. And as long as we use the left's verbiage, it comes off negatively. So we've got to learn that things like, you know, which words you use are important. And so they're enforcement actions by the DEA.
Okay. So there were three of them in Colorado, in the Brighton area, this morning. They were targeting members of the Sinaloan drug cartel. That's who the law enforcement targeted action raid was against. And they did arrest one Trendaragua thing. But what they found were guns and all kinds of things like that. What's interesting, though, and I want to play a bite from a DEA guy, where he kind of talks a little bit about what they found and what they did. And interestingly, if you listen, he said, oh yeah, they've been working on this for months, which begs the question, well, why didn't they do something about it till now? So Doug, if we could, I want to give you a heads up here, please play the DEA soundbite.
That's what struck me today about this particular location, is that we ended up seizing numerous rifles and thousands of rounds of ammunition. So, you know, at DEA, we're often talking about drugs, right? Anytime that something like this, we'll work with our other partners, whether it's this one or others, where we have a firearm seize, we'll work with ATF. If we have immigration-related matters, we'll work with ICE and ERO. So that's what I'll answer that question.
And this investigation goes back months.
Months, right? Correct.
Which I find so interesting, right? The investigation goes back months. Now, does anyone think that if Donald Trump had not become president, they would have executed? You know, they would have done it. No. I mean, what were they waiting for, right? These guys, it's like, it doesn't take months. These drug dealers, they don't sit in the same house for months. So that I found was interesting. And this is from Jacob. Vicious Trendaragua ringleader busted in the immigration raid on kidnapping warrant from Aurora, Colorado. Yeah, one of the guys who was seen in New York City, right, in a raid there, they showed him. And he had gone there because of the pressure that was,
that was here.
So the thing is they're cracking. What did they say? They want to get 18 immigrant ICE. Is looking to get 1,800 people or 1,000 people a day or something.
Well, that's the floor, as Trump said, and Stephen Miller. No, that isn't our goal. That's the floor. That's the minimum we want to have
Right, exactly. And you watch MSNBC, they're going bonkers.
Endlessly, yeah. As Julie can testify.
Yeah, and they're going bonkers. And it was kind of funny because Jesse Waters last night asked Tom Homan what he thought about that. So, Doug, if we could please play the Homan soundbite.
Listen to this. New York City joined the list of cities where these performative raids are taking place. And we have a government right now that is reckless. Reckless and also, I mean, as I said, performative. I mean, I want to show you an image of Kristi Noem, who was just confirmed, the former governor who was confirmed as a Department of Homeland Security. I mean, it's just she's cosplaying. It's almost a game where she seems to be cosplaying, because I'm not sure what she thinks that she's portraying here. She might as well be at Comic-Con.
James and Joyce say you're reckless and you're just role-playing for fun.
She's dumber than a box of rocks. Bottom line is, let's talk about Chicago for a minute. Chicago mayor says that we put fear in the elementary schools because ICE agent went to elementary school. Total false story. What ICE did in Chicago is save children. What we did in New York today is save children. Just Chicago alone, we arrested like 9 sexual predators, most of them child sex predators. We took them off the street. We took them off the street in New York today. We're protecting the community. We're saving children. We're going to secure that border so less Americans die of fentanyl deaths. We're securing the border so less women and children are sex trafficked. Biden administration has a 600% increase in sex trafficking. We're securing the border so less terrorists and people on the terrorist watch list get into the country. Biden under Biden, we had a 3,500% increase in people on terrorist watch list. No, we're saving this nation. We're making America safe again. So they need to get out of the way because we're coming. We're going to do it. They're not going to stop us.
There you go.
Well, I have to say that Joy Reid is not dumb as a box of rocks. I mean, she did go to Harvard, which woo-woo these days, but she did go to Harvard.
How about her comments are dumb as a box of rocks?
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, but she's her show, if you watch it at all, it's, you know, above average intelligence, though a disgusting show. Rachel Maddow is you know, a generational talent in her own way. There are some people I think are dumb as a box of rocks on MSNBC, but she's the biggest racist they have. Just a disgusting racist, but I guess he didn't.
I think what Holman's point was, it's like, what is she talking about? We're not messing around here. You know, it's like, this is what we're doing. And this is what I like about Donald Trump. So yesterday he says to all the federal employees, it's like, hey, look, you have to come back to work next week. I mean, if you don't want to, we're giving you a buyout. Right. I mean, what a good way to get rid of. And I'm sure it'd be.
Well, I think we briefly talked about before. Here's part of Donald being subtle. He told everybody, you're going to have to prove that you weren't working a second job. And you know, I mean, just like firemen, right? Firemen really have a tough job for the time when they have to fight fires. Otherwise, they're laying around the thing doing their investment portfolios and lifting weights and doing everything else. And the more ambitious of them have second jobs because it isn't a full-time job. That's why you had volunteer fire departments and so forth. So it's there's going to be a lot of people go, ooh, if they're going to, you know, want my, you know, see my tax return if I actually had another job going. I think I'll go with that paid leave deal.
Well, exactly. And it's a good deal. You'll get rid of a lot of people who don't want to be there. And then who knows, maybe we don't have to hire him back.
Hopefully we don't.
He reassigned some more of the Department of Justice guys who were going after him and were part of that whole thing. He's putting all of those attorneys, I think this is funny, he's formed a task force to go after sanctuary cities.
They should do that in DEI enforcement actions.
What I love about Trump is that he's just not asking permission. I think for too long, Republicans like Mitch McConnell, who really actually didn't want anything to change, right? They would like ask for permission first, rather than they'd have endless task forces and meetings with lawyers and conferences to see, can we offer the employees a buyout, right? Trump just says, do it. And if they want to sue me, okay, sue me. Well, and then we'll fight it out there. So, I mean, that's what's great. Republicans wasted too long, decades, when they were in power, asking for permission to do stuff first. Now
they didn't really
want
to do anything. They just want to be in charge of the ship. They wanted to steer the wheel slightly, a little bit. But other than that, they were happy with the ship of state. Finally, somebody, for the first time since, you know, Warren G. Harding, I guess it really Coolidge, has actually won a smaller government and actually is enforcing a smaller. Really, Coolidge was the last one that actually did. And that's a long time. That's 100 years we've been, let's grow the government and never decrease it, but grow it. Reagan did a little beyond reducing it, but did nothing to reduce it, did nothing to get rid of the Department of Education, did nothing. And I must admit, Donald Trump makes Ronald Reagan look small.
He's just doing it. And here's some kinds of great comments. It's like, let's see, from Charlene, elites love the underclass, do their chores for cheap. Right. And I mean, Holman and those guys, and who was it? Stephen Miller was calling him out. He's like, did you hear yourself? Is this thing? It's like, so you're, you know, that your gardener, you're worried, you aren't, you know, your gardener's.
Well, they don't pick any of the stuff and says, what, these people aren't, they're on welfare in the big yeah. cities. 1% of them are in the agricultural field. So.
Right. And so they're trying to, and then Jacob, CNN is going nuts because for every 1,800 caught, there are 1,800 fewer viewers for CNN. And then Leo, maybe they play CNN on the transport planes like they do in the airports, although they don't do that anymore. From Barney, gotta love Joy Reid's haircut. Rachel kind of looks like Clooney. She does, actually. I didn't know this, Jacob. Joy Reid is from the Montebello section of Denver.
Really?
And then from Barney, maybe Mitch will have a stroke during his weekly enema. However you spell that. Yeah, Mitch McConnell. Well, and so a lot of confirmation votes. You were watching the Robert Kennedy.
I
wasn't able to pull sound on that, but that was pretty. I mean, the Democrats, including our own Michael Bennett, it just is interesting. Somebody put out, so Bernie Sanders got like 1.2 million a couple years ago from Big Pharma,
right?
Elizabeth Warren, 863,000, right? It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. And then who was escorted for the thing? I mean, what happened to the Democrat Party? They had to escort a woman who was running through the protester, the agitator screaming, vaccines are safe. We need to have vaccines. It's like, what happened? Agitators should be saying no vaccines. Instead, they're agitating for vaccines. It's like paid for by Big Pharma. Yeah. It's just ridiculous watching these Democrats say, well, you can't, you promise you won't sue the pharmaceutical companies, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, we won't do that.
That you'll make the kids continue to eat cereal that's bad for them, right? It's like watching these Democrats, it's crazy watching them stand up for all of this big money and big pharma.
Well, you know, if I was a witness, this is one of the things I'd say up front. You know, I know I'm going to be asked a lot of questions where you say yes or no. And as a former litigator, I used to enjoy cross-examination. If you could get the judge would allow you, and they usually wouldn't, you'd try to form your question as something to the person. Have you stopped beating your wife? Yes or no?
Right.
Well, if you answer yes, that means you used to beat her. Answer no, it means you're still beating her. So what you want to do is, you know, get a question like that in that form where no matter what they answer, is they're dead. And recognize that, you know, I'm not going to play, you know, as a witness, I'm not going to play that game.
Right.
If it's a true yes, no answer, I have to give it. But it really is uninformative to try to have questions that you can't, you know, they're just gotchas and really not intend to elucidate any useful testimony.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's on. I'll say in fairness, the Republicans are just as bad when it's on the other side, right? These hearings anymore have simply become ways to two points. One, to trap the person testifying into sound bites that they can then use against them later. And two, to show off and to, you know, speak to your base and fundraise.
It's a form of showing off. It's exposing yourself. Really, you're not showing off, you know. It's
off to the Democrat base.
Well,
right?
They're trying to, but they come across, by and large, with a few exceptions, as idiots. I mean, her own from Hawaii. I mean, if you didn't know, she's an utter moron. You know, she's affirming she's a moron. If Elizabeth Warren isn't a snaky little B-word, well, now you know for sure.
Right.
I must admit, our own U.S. Senator,
Bennett,
Michael Bennett. Did a pretty good job of being an asshole.
I mean, yeah, which is, I don't know what got into him. But all they do is give speeches. But on this from Leo, Pocahontas went full nut job on RFK Jr. and Barney. Yeah, and they claim he's the Fruit Loop. It's like, yeah, they look nuts. But it's, you know, they're not going to go away. Interesting, there was a story in Politico just this afternoon. It's already happening, right? And this is why Trump needs to go fast and to keep going fast. A nonprofit called American Oversight is already working with the Democrats, assuming and going to be trying to do everything they can to get either a majority in the House or the Senate. right? And then they're going to start launching in 2 years, the same thing they did during his first term. All kinds are going to start subpoenaing everything from Trump, the administration. They're going to start doing congressional hearings and all kinds of investigations, right? Impeachments. They're already geared. They're saying they're doing this. They're planning for it right now. And I think Trump knows that.
Well, everybody these days, including Republicans who never look very far beyond their own noses, are really realizing. I mean, Trump hit the round, you know, this 100 days. It's because everybody prepared for it. You know, Russell right. Voigt and the 2025 Project. And there are other ones similar to that. Really, you know, they were waiting. They didn't just he didn't get in and say, hey, what are we going to do? But they knew what they wanted to do. And they're executing it on. And so the Democrats say, OK, 2 years from now, we have a good chance of overturning the House or the Senate or both. What are we going to do? You know, well, they'll hit the floor running. I mean, they'll.
And they're gearing up now and they're fundraising on it now. Yeah. So I think it's good for Trump. And like I said, it's like, you know, even some of the Republicans are like, I don't think he could do that. It's like, you know what? Don't ask for permission. Just do it.
Right.
And the courts, you already know the courts are going to screw you over depending on what jurisdiction they're in. But that's OK.
Well, that's a big problem that. All the federal court actions, all the agencies, everything else, all that is in the D.C. Circuit and the Democrats being brilliant, Republicans being stupid. It's incredibly left-wing, including the D.C. Court of Appeals, which means your likelihood to get to the Supreme Court is pretty small. And somebody over there in that regard has to figure out how to defund, get rid of the Ninth Circuit, I mean the D.C. Circuit. We don't need a D.C. Circuit.
Take buyouts.
All you judges want buyouts.
And you know, here's another thing too that's fun. I think it's fun that Congress is, you know, they called Mike Johnson and some other sanctuary city mayors to go testify in front of Congress, right? And so you got to wonder if you're Johnson, on one hand, you probably want to say no, but you want to go there and you want to virtue signal, but you don't want to virtue signal too much because.
Well, you wonder how you're going to turn, how you're going to come out.
You're going to come out. Well, meanwhile, you got people being stabbed on the 16th Street Mall, so you got to worry about that.
Not a problem.
This is interesting. Also, the Fed, there's now a federal investigation, they say, underway into the Denver public school system because, and the headlines is typical. The media, the liberal media is like changing it to skewing it, I guess. So what they did at East High School, so there are apparently two bathrooms on the second floor, right? One for men or boys, one for women or girls, right? So what they did is they took the girls' bathroom and they turned it into an all-gender bathroom. And they found out about it because some parent complained and said, hey, my daughter feels uncomfortable, you know, going to this all, you know, this all-gender bathroom because the boys are going in there, right? And so the feds are investigating, but what they're investigating, they're like, they're investigating for having a, you know, an all-gender trans bathroom. It's like, no, what they're investigating them for is discrimination because
there's no girls' bathroom now,
right? Which is, I mean, which makes sense. It's like, why would you do that? If you're a school district, why would you, I mean, let's face it, when you're in high school and you're a high school girl, you spend a considerable amount of time in the bathroom fixing your hair and not going to the bathroom, doing that's like a little social club. So why would you screw over the girls like that? Right? You know, but they make it sound like, oh, it's an anti-trans thing. It has nothing to do with that. They're saying you don't have a girls' bathroom anymore. You know, you have to put a girls' bathroom on the second floor. And why DPS? It's like they need to get, you know, Darcy and Hope to show up for them too.
Right.
To show up for them too there. That's kind of rapid. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Oh, I'm sure there is. Let me think for a second. I'd like to bring up.
What will you do?
Robert Kennedy Jr. I mean, okay. I watched him today. Now, he was a heroin addict for 14 years, from age 15, a year after his father died, till 29. So he went through law school. He went through college. He went through law school. He said heroin helped him. I mean, he was ADHD or whatever it is, attention deficit disorder, kind of getting, and it helped him get grades, which I'd never heard before.
I don't think heroin is a recommended prescription for but he's, bad grades.
You know, in the HHS section of U.S. government, it's 20% of the budget, and it's impossible to figure out how you solve it because it's unlimited need with finite resources.
Yeah, good
so
point.
How do you solve that? I mean, there is no way to solve that other than ways in which are draconian. I mean, you know, they kill people, really. You know, you just, and they do, you know, you're 90, you know, you can't have a hip replacement because what's the useful life for that hip replacement? But, I mean, something, it's, you know, all the countries that have, you know, Bernie goes, every happy country, you know, and they're, you know, England, they can't get enough of the budget to their equivalent HHS, and Canada, everybody's unhappy about the government being part of it. At least over in England, you can have private insurance, which all the government.
Well, here you can, but it just doesn't pay for anything.
No, it pays for a lot, but you have to have a lot of money to do it. Canada, there is no private insurance. It's the United States that's your private insurance. If you don't like what they're doing, if you don't want to wait, you know, 9 months while you die from cancer or something, you go to the U.S. and pay in full.
Well, you could tell from the, I was listening to part of it. You can tell they're worried about like Trump firing everybody or reassigning people because they're like, "Were you promised not to fire anyone?"
And he's if they're what? Competent,
if they're doing their job, I won't fire them. It's like
that was good. Kennedy really answered that well.
That's like, what do you mean? I promise not to fire anyone. But that's what they're worried, right? You cannot fire anyone.
And who will decide that? Well, I will.
I will. Yeah. Hey, that will do it for
that
us.
That will today. Do it for us. All right.
Friday. I do. I've told you I already have the soundbite pulled.
I got a soundbite, everybody. You know, pressure works.
That's right.
Like they say, you know, a squeaky wheel gets the grease. All your demands, all your emails, all your Twitter accounts, everything else demanding a Friday afternoon.
We don't want to overplay this, so it's not.
It was pretty bad. The pressure on Julie was enormous. Enormous.
We're going to have Ken Raposa on. He's going to talk about, we all saw what happened with the Colombian president and the tariff threat, right? And he's basically saying, hey, tariffs work, guys. Let's use them. So we'll talk to him about that.
That'll be great.
Yeah. In the meantime, everyone have a great rest of your week.
Take care.
And we'll see you on Friday.
Bye-bye.